Welcome back to Midpoint, friends, on this April Fool's Day, 2026. I'm your host, the Chief Fool, Shelley Reback. And with me today is Colleen Wright of the Tampa Bay Times. Patrick Montega of La Gazzetta was supposed to be here, but he's missing in action. So hopefully he'll show up during the show. If not, I'm going to be relying on you, the listeners, to contribute to today's show. And hopefully you will. We welcome your calls and comments and questions. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can send us an email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can send a text to 813-433-0885. So today we are going to be talking about the Tampa Bay Rays and their plans to put a new baseball stadium in Tampa on what is now the campus of Hillsborough Community College, or Hillsborough College. I guess they've changed the name. The Tampa Bay Rays' proposed stadium plan has really sparked debate over the $2.3 billion estimated price tag. The Rays' new ownership group, led by Patrick Zalupski, a developer with ties to Governor Ron DeSantis, has proposed paying 50% of that total cost of $2.3 billion. This could become the single largest taxpayer burden project in Hillsborough County history. Hillsborough County Commissioner Josh Wostall has proposed a 5 p.m. deadline on April 1st, on today, for the Rays to release internal documents relating to this deal, and the Hillsborough County Commissioners could vote on the stadium proposal as early as April 15th. The Tampa City Council is expected to vote the next day. So this raises a lot of very timely questions. But now here's the thing. I don't know jack about this proposal or this deal. I'm not a huge baseball fan, so I haven't been following it like my guest, and many of you have. So I have basically zero knowledge about the ins and outs of the stadium proposal. But when the plans began to gel, and when I heard that I, as a taxpayer, may be on the hook for this enormous bill, I got very interested very fast, and I wanted to know more. Hence this show. I should tell you that I reached out to the Rays, too, and I invited them to join us on the show to present their views and what information they would, but the response I got from their vice president of communications was that they, quote, could not accommodate the request at this time, close quote. So who knows? Maybe another time. Meanwhile, I'm going to ask my guest to explain it all to me like I'm a five-year-old, because even though I'm not a huge baseball fan, I am a huge fan of my money. And if this plan is going to impact my taxes, and if this plan is going to divert resources away from other priorities and other amenities in the county that I do care about, then I think I need to pay more attention. And so do you. As again, I'll be very happy to take your questions and comments on the Rays plan by telephone at 813-239-9663, by email at dj@wmnf.org, or by text at 813-433-0885. But please do not wait until the final few minutes of the show, or we will not be able to get to you. Now, normally I do some news nuggets of the week at this point in the show, but nothing happened in the Florida legislature last week because the session ended. It ended with very little happening and a lot tabled to the special session, which is called for later this month. The feckless Florida legislators failed to do their one constitutionally mandated job, which is to pass a budget. So they need to come back to do that and to take up the issues of property taxes and possible redistricting. I wouldn't be surprised if nothing but the budget comes out of the special session either, but we will see. Now, I suspect we will get a lot of engagement on today's topic, so I'm going to forego any other news nuggets of the week to try to give us enough time to hear from all of you as possible in our hour, which isn't really even an hour. So let's get started. All right, to begin, let me introduce my guest. Colleen Wright. Colleen is a reporter from the Tampa Bay Times who's been following the Rays saga for some time, especially the St. Pete angles of the story. So I'm happy to have you join us, Colleen.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Sure. All right, let's start with the facts that we do know. The Tampa Bay Rays have been sold to a new ownership group led by a Jacksonville-based home builder, a businessman, and a big donor to DeSantis' political campaigns, Patrick Zalupski. The sale finalized in late 2025 for a reported $1.7 billion installs Zalupski as the principal owner and control person, replacing Stu Sternberg. And we know that the Tampa Bay Rays will open their season on April 6th. Now, their home base, Tropicana Field, was severely damaged by Hurricane Milton in 2024. But they will return to a repaired Tropicana Field in St. Pete after spending the previous season playing at Steinbrenner Field, which is the home of the New York Yankees spring training in Tampa. And the Rays claim that their new proposed stadium can be expected to be completed by 2029. That is really mostly all we know for sure, right?
That's exactly right, and you did a really good job catching everyone up there. Yep, that's exactly right.
They said in Dragnet, them just the facts, right, ma'am?
Just the facts.
So let's start with this, Colleen, and I think you're the perfect person to talk to about this. Tropicana Field. So the roof has been repaired, and the stadium has undergone other renovations at a $55 million price tag. Who paid for those repairs?
Great question. So actually, that price tag's up to $57 million, although $59 million was approved. About $30 million, a little more than $30 million, is coming from insurance proceeds, even though the city months before the hurricane actually lowered the insurance on Tropicana Field, its most expensive asset, from $100 million to $25 million. But anyway, there's like $10.8 million, I think, from insurance proceeds. They're getting about like $16 million from FEMA. FEMA came through, gave about $16 million, and I think they're getting about like $2.3 million from the state's emergency department, and they're expecting more reimbursements as work is done. So as these repairs are completed, they're expecting more payments to come through, but we won't know kind of the full tally until later. So the city did take out kind of a short a loan. I want to say it was about $50 million, so much has happened since, to kind of cover some repairs, not only at Tropicana Field, but throughout the city of St. Petersburg. Just, you know, storm damage repairs to pay for all that. But yeah, we're looking at a total tab of at least $57 million right now.
Wow. And so, again, like facts about the Rays deal, math is not my strong point. So what does that leave the taxpayers on the hook for about?
I think we still need to see what kind of other reimbursements come in as of right now, you know, since the repairs come in. But, you know, we will see just kind of what happens in the future. You know, you mentioned that the Rays want a new stadium by 2029 in Tampa. I just wrote a story on Monday saying that, you know, 3 years is a reasonable time for a build out, but only after funding and votes are approved. And neither of those have happened yet. We actually don't have a plan put to paper of how the Rays would pay for a stadium in Tampa. And no votes have taken yet. In fact, the only discussion that's taken publicly, as our guest Patrick Mantega, who just got here, pointed out yesterday at the Tampa Sports Authority meeting, which he chairs, the only public discussion on the Rays stadium deal in Tampa has happened at the Tampa Sports Authority, but we really don't have many details just yet.
Yeah, well, okay, so I thank you, Colleen, for telling our listeners that Patrick has just showed up. Patrick Mantega is the publisher and editor-in-chief of La Gazzetta, Ybor's, actually the country's only trilingual newspaper, and he is the chair of the Tampa Sports Authority, right, Patrick?
Yes, I am, and it's a great position, and it's a fun time to be up there, but today I am, certainly the Sports Authority's taken no position on this, and I'm not representing their views on this issue, more on my role as the publisher of La Gazzetta.
Okay. Well, before we get any further, I have actually have a caller already, so I want to make sure that people know how much we appreciate you calling in early so we get you on air. So I'm going to bring Jason from Brandon on the air. Jason, you're on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to give a bit of a location lookout for those of us in the old guard that are quietly looking at Hillsborough College thinking, wait, what? And that would be the old Hillsborough Community College on Dale Mabry, the very same campus I've actually gone to once or twice.
Well, that's where they want to put the stadium.
Right.
Okay, what's your point?
Interesting. I'd say it's an interesting place. I mean, I can't see anything since birth, but wow, to put it right in the backyard, so to speak.
Okay, well, you know, it's right in the midst of, you know, the football stadiums
right
across the street,
sure,
and Legends Field, the spring training facility of the New York Yankees is right there. It's like a little, like, sports stadium arena district.
I would almost say that's pretty appropriate, honestly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk to my guests about how everybody's going to pay for it and what will happen to this college that you went to and so many other people do. All right. Thanks for calling in, Jason.
Yep.
Appreciate you listening. Okay. So first and foremost, why can't the Rays keep playing at Tropicana Field now that it's all fixed up? Why is there a need for a new ballpark? Why does the new ownership group not want to stay in Pinellas County? And does building a new stadium guarantee that the organization will have better attendance and higher revenues than they do now? I mean, can we be certain that any of this will succeed? Start with you, Colleen, because you're like the St. Pete person.
All really valid questions. So, just to table set, the Rays are under contract to play at Tropicana Field. It was originally through 2027, but when the hurricane damaged the Trop, it extended the lease by 1 year because, of course, baseball wasn't playable there. So they will play there. They're under contract to play there for the 2026 season, 2027 season, and 2028. So that's 3 years left.
So why can't they play? Why can't they continue to play there? I mean, they're going to have this huge asset in St. Pete that's been repaired and renovated and whatever, and no team inside.
Major League Baseball will tell you that the fan base is concentrated in Tampa, and that's where most of their fans are. I spoke with Mark Rosentraub for a story I did earlier this week, who was saying that Tropicana Field is a failed experiment. Basically, the location just doesn't work out. You know, the caller before, Jason, was saying actually it's pretty appropriate to kind of have a stadium next to
a district. It's like kind of a sports district.
Right. And the important part there, too, is that that's publicly owned land. Hillsborough College, right, is public land that Ron DeSantis, you know, through his power of, you know, he oversees, right, state colleges ultimately, it's not private land. It's not going for market value. You know, they're kind of getting a break there because that's kind of a way to make the deal work. But folks just really don't like the location. It's had low attendance for a while. Now you ask, well, does this mean that there would be more attendance? Really good question. You know, there is a novelty effect. If you talk to economists that study stadiums, I'm thinking specifically of J.C. Bradbury, who's out of Kennesaw State in Georgia. But he would say there's novelty effect, and so you might see a spike and then it'll go down. You know, see a spike for a few years and then it'll go down. But it is true that, you know, Tampa's kind of like where the fan base is and more concentrated, and it's possible that, yes, that they would see more attendance, but that's just a guess at this point. But a lot of people view Tampa, a lot of people view the Trop as just a poor location surrounded by water, and it would not work out.
Patrick, what do you say?
I agree. I would just sum it up to say they just don't want to be there.
They
don't want to be there because they feel there's more money opportunity, more revenue opportunity over here. You know, right now, Major League Baseball is making a tremendous amount of money off its TV contract. So currently, the fan base isn't as feeding them as much of their revenue as some other sports. But who knows if that TV contract goes down in the future, and all of a sudden, then they need more revenue from their people showing up and buying beer at the stadium. And if that's the case, the current stadium they have and the current location they have just doesn't generate revenue. the way they would like to. You know, when we went from the Big Sombrero to Ray J, this was to create luxury suites, to create a better fan experience, to raise the price of a ticket from the most expensive one being the closest to the field, but to raise the most expensive price to a ticket to be midway up the stands. And so with sports, they're always trying to figure out how to make every seat valuable and more valuable. And the Tropicana Dome, they just don't have that. And hopefully they're trying to design a stadium here that would give them that ability to increase revenue for every seat that is available.
Well, it seems kind of crazy that they devoted so much money to renovating and restoring Tropicana Field, knowing that they had no intention
contractual
of...
Contractual obligations.
They had to.
Yeah, I mean, we have contractual obligations for the Buccaneers. If we had a problem with them, you know, we might have to pay them tax dollars to make up for us not keeping the obligations that we have. We have an obligation at Ray J to currently keep it up to NFL standards. Mm. So that means if you know, over 50% of this of the stadiums in America start to do something, we also have to do it.
Mm. Well, you know, there's talk about redevelopment of that land where Tropicana Stadium currently exists. Couldn't they take all that money that they got from FEMA and from insurance and whatever and pay off those contractual obligations like people do when their car gets, you know, almost totaled with insurance?
So one of the city council members in St. Petersburg, Richie Floyd, says that a $40 million buyout was talked about, and this would be the city buying out the Rays out of their obligation. But the city kind of won't really confirm that specific number, but the city says that they actually would not be eligible for FEMA and some other reimbursement as well. And so this was kind of the way to get the Rays back playing and also get some of their money back.
And the city also cut its insurance right before the storm. So so had they kept their full insurance, this wouldn't have been a big hit on the taxpayers over there. But, you know, you gamble with insurance. Do you pay the high premiums or do you go with the risk?
Right, right. All right, I've got a few text messages here I want to read to share. I've got one from 6838 who says, I'm an Uber driver, and I got to tell you, downtown St. Pete is happening and still growing. So I guess that's a disagreement with the idea that there would be more attendance with a stadium in Tampa. And I have another text message from 4783 who wants to know, well, did attendance increase this past year playing at Steinbrenner Field? I mean, that's a much smaller facility, so.
Much smaller. I think it's like 10,000.
10,000, yeah. And so, you know, they had a great success there, but it was certainly a smaller stadium, and therefore you could not compare one to the other. Mm. You know, they had, I think they sold tickets at a better price than they did originally. Over at over in St. Petersburg, but you know, from the games I attended, it seemed like it was a great crowd, and seemed like everybody was excited and happy.
Well, also, you know, I think that it was the novelty of it being there too that probably, you know, attracted some people. But I have another text message here from 0919 who says, will the Rays offer any affordable housing in their housing units if the Rays build their stadium in Drew Park? And if not, why not? If kept in St. Pete, Tropicana was to offer 23% of housing units for affordable housing. I guess that was part of the negotiation when they were intending to stay in St. Pete at Tropicana Field, right?
This deal is arranged very differently. You had a competitive process over in St. Petersburg about how to develop the property, and so everybody had to pony up and say, okay, I'm going to do this for the community, that for the community, the other. In this case, the governor's basically giving property to them without any design over what they're going to do to it. It's a blank piece of property for them to make as much revenue off of as possible, and the team's goal is to make as much revenue as possible. It is not to make sure that the poor are housed or anything else. It's a revenue generating issue, and we've given it to them at this point without any strings attached.
Yeah, that. Let's talk about that. So in January, the Hillsborough College Board of Trustees approved a memorandum of understanding with the Tampa Bay Rays. So what's in that memorandum of understanding What does it mean? And what will happen to the college facilities and the students who are on that campus now? Will the RAISE franchise support any educational initiatives? I mean, what's known about what's going to happen to the college? They're giving up a lot. It's an important educational institution for our community.
Great question. So basically the plan sort of is to, and I just want to be clear, the memorandum of understanding is non-binding, and it's basically like it lays out all the terms that need to be negotiated. So it's kind of like a roadmap to negotiations. And one of the interesting things is that it says that Hillsborough College and the RAISE will exclusively negotiate for 180 days. And we're close to halfway, I think, through that. What does that mean when the 180 days expire?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get any clarity when I asked Ken Babby about that back in January. But the plan is kind of that Governor Ron DeSantis says the buildings at Hillsborough College's Del Mabry campus are older and kind of need to be redone anyway. And so they would take some of these buildings and rebuild them.
The state would pay
to kind of relocate and build newer buildings kind of concentrated on the southwestern portion of the campus. And so they would get new facilities. The college would get new facilities, updated, taller, kind of concentrate them kind of at the bottom. And the RAISE would get most of the rest of kind of that quadrant. Of course, the northeastern part is where the Yankees have their spring training facility at Steinbrenner.
We have no guarantee that the state's going to fund that.
Well, and I would say that the memorandum of understanding doesn't say that the state will do it. It says the RAISE shall cause the redevelopment of HCC's current campus on the college district portion of the property in a way reasonably acceptable to the HCC. I'm reading actually the memorandum of understanding from. So,
What does that mean?
Well, it means that the RAISE have to figure this out, but it doesn't mean the money comes out of their pocket.
Right.
And so the question is that if we have to build $200 million worth of buildings, do the RAISE have that money?
You just earlier and moments ago said all they care about is extracting revenue from this project.
So they want to spend as little as possible on creating that HCC campus.
And it doesn't even guarantee that they have to spend the money to create it.
Well, it says they shall cause.
Doesn't mean fund, doesn't mean pay for it.
And that's why they were hoping to get $50 million out of the state this year and then have another bill for another $50 million next year and another bill for $50 million. But this legislature is not necessarily on the same page with the governor.
Right.
And these are not necessarily their friends that are owning the RAISE.
Right.
And so,
In fact, they may look to shiv the governor on this, like many other plans.
And this is the reason for the rush.
Yeah.
The reason for the rush is we got to get this plan while the governor's still the governor. We got to get this plan done before anybody starts putting a calculator to it. We've got to get this plan done before property taxes decrease in the state of Florida. We've got to get this done now before people look behind the curtain.
Oh, my goodness. Charles here in Tampa says, am I the only one who's more than a little put off by every single aspect of these big projects being focused on really nothing other than maximizing the extractive value? That's from Charles in Tampa. And I don't want to get too deep into the weeds because we haven't yet addressed the funding from the community investment tax. But this text message from 0919 says, the community investment tax was not to be used for sports stadiums. So why does the city of Tampa want to use this money anyway?
Well, that's not absolutely correct.
And we have another text message from 7517 who says, the RAISE new ownership should really focus on putting a quality product out on the field. Player retention should also be on the list. RAISE fan from day one, but it's not easy. Okay, well, 7517, where are they going to do that? Where? That's what we're talking about today, is where. I want to go back to the fact that, you say we have to get this done before all of these other things happen. Well, there's a special session starting later this month in the legislature where they're supposed to take up the issue of getting rid of homestead property taxes completely. Mm-hmm. If they do, and then it has to be put to the voters.
Correct.
And the voters will either vote yes or no on getting rid of homestead property taxes. I mean, under these circumstances where this is hanging over our heads, how can we have faith in the commitment of the Rays to cause the restructuring and rebuilding of the college campus?
Well, that should be part of the process that HCC should be going through to ask, so show me the funding, show me your borrowing capabilities in order to build these buildings for us and to do this. But I have to say, and this is just from an editorial standpoint, is it looks like HCC's rolled over and getting its belly scratched.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, this MOU, it was a ridiculous thing for them to sign. The board was completely pressured by the
governor.
Now,
let's make clear that the board is the governor's board.
Absolutely.
It's not like a bunch of independent people.
And the board hires Atwater, who runs the college, and so he, you know, has to listen to the board. And so if the board is under the governor's influence, then Atwater's under the governor's influence.
Right, right. So this is not any sort of independent, unbiased position that the HCC board is taking.
You would hope so, that they would be thinking about the best decisions for the college itself,
as opposed to what's best for the governor, who's their patron.
I mean, we discussed yesterday at the Sports Authority meeting that some of the obligations we have to the Buccaneers, and one of the obligations is that we have to provide them a certain number of parking spaces. And so if this agreement takes away those parking spaces and we can't get to that threshold, then we might have to write the Buccaneers a check each year for the parking spaces we're not giving them.
Gee,
mentioned 3,000, right,
what we're losing.
Yes.
Yeah, what we're losing.
Let me take a couple calls here from people who've been very patient. Okay, I've got Laura in Tampa who is on the air. Laura, you're on
Good
the air.
Good morning. Thank you all so much for this conversation. I was Commissioner Pat Kemp's aide for 8 years. I worked on 8 county budgets, and I can tell you, editorially, we cannot afford this. I've been worried about this day for years. I read up a lot on these deals, and now I'm even more concerned because I didn't expect the part with the college, right? I can just tell you, there's a playbook for how all these deals are done, and here's how it goes. Avoid a public vote. Rush the process of approving the financial deal. Make it a quest to get a team rather than a real public discussion about financial issues. And in the end, that's exactly where we are. And thank you so much for this conversation. Y'all are covering so many important things. I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. Well, you certainly have a background in this because it's not the first time it's come up, right? So,
right.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate your expertise as well. It certainly does sound like that playbook, you know, of rushing through to get the deal without any real backup.
You know, Rochelle, there are some people out there who believe there should be $0 that go to public sports facilities like this because billionaires own them. I'm not in that position. I do believe there's a amount of money that there is a value to this community for having a sports team. The question is, what is that value and what is that amount of money? And that's where you would hope that we would have tough negotiations to try and reduce our cost, reduce our risk as much as possible, and to end up with a sports team here and to have a deal that works for both sides.
But it doesn't sound like that at that point, and they want a decision by April 15th.
We're at a disadvantage always when you have the public because you have the Rays, and they have one interest, and then we have a city council who has a bunch of members. We have a county commission with a bunch of members. We have a state government with a bunch of members. We have a sports league.
Yeah, everybody's got interests, but we don't have enough facts.
And so on our side, we don't have one person negotiating for us with one goal.
But Colleen can speak to this. We don't have facts, right?
We don't have anything put to paper. And Tampa City Council Chairman Alan Clendenin, who is on the Tampa Sports Authority, said that very clearly yesterday, that things are still being penciled out, verified numbers.
And then he said that 80% is done.
And then 80%, yeah, and then he told the media after 80% is done. Now, one thing he mentioned in the meeting, but then kind of walked back after, was he mentioned that there would be an MOU, a memorandum of understanding, It sounded like similar to Hillsborough College, but he was like, well, we'll see. And he couldn't say if it was binding or non-binding on April 15th. But you mentioned, you know, kind of the process of all this. It's going way faster. I mean, exponentially faster than it did in St. Petersburg. And St. Petersburg, you know, had a consultant. They had a community benefits agreement vetting process for sufficient community benefit. And some of that is happening, but it's just
haven't heard from the neighbors, you know, of the new site. Let me take a call here from Jack in Tampa. You've been patient, Jack. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. We forget that Orlando is once this team, and they are going to try to take this team away from us. When we fail as a city to keep this team here, we must realize that this team will move to Orlando, and that is a high price to pay.
That's a good point. Thanks for calling in to bring that up, Jack. Jack thinks that's a high price to pay if we were to lose the team, but there has been so much written and research by experts that suggests that sports stadiums and arenas are not really the economic drivers that they are always trumpeted to be whenever a municipality is asked to chip in and fund them. They just don't generate the tax revenue dollars and the development that is promised, and often they divert resources away from other serious municipal needs like roads, transportation, fire stations, all kinds of things that have to be funded too. And at a time when the governor wants the legislature to vote to abolish property taxes, where is this money to fund the stadium going to come from? Where are we guaranteed to have the money to fund this, especially in circumstances where, you know, it may not be the return that it's trumpeted to be?
Well, first on the Orlando issue, number one, Orlando's being floated out there by Ken Hagan and some others as a potential competition for Tampa. At the moment, there's not a bidding war between one city and the other. And Orlando has been very weak on the issue of, as a community, of saying, we want this team. They could have jumped in a lot earlier and had this conversation 5 or 6 years ago and said, we want this team. They didn't.
So your point is that we shouldn't worry about Orlando?
My point is that I don't think Orlando's writing them a $2.3 billion check to move the team over and pay 100%.
Hmm.
Orlando doesn't necessarily have a piece of property to put them on for free.
Mm.
And so if you were to talk about the cost of the stadium, if you had to buy property and a stadium, all of a sudden now the stadium costs a lot more, so the race hap is a lot greater too.
Mm.
The other issue is that Orlando has a tremendous amount more tourist tax, but does Disney and Universal want the raise there? This competes with them. It doesn't necessarily help them, and they control that tourist tax. They feed that tourist tax.
So if I hear you correctly, you think Orlando's not something to really worry about, but what about the point that these stadiums and arenas are not the economic drivers that they're touted to be? They're more of a, you know, amenity, like, you know, we have beaches, which is an attractive feature for a community. It's an amenity, but it doesn't necessarily generate the revenue that is touted.
I think there are factual issues. You can look at it, revenue generated. I mean, the Sports Authority has a sports complex over in East Hillsborough County where we host amateur teams to come over and play, you know, football games and soccer games, things like that. And we get regional and national tournaments coming down here. Last year, we generated 90,000 bed nights. That is a measurable item. And so that means 90,000 people stayed in Hillsborough County hotels, and we know what that generated in taxes. And so that's a factual number.
But baseball plays like 1.5 million games a season. It's not like a tournament, which is, you know, a date certain to fill hotels.
I'm just talking about what you can prove. And so there are provable numbers that you can have. I mean,
I'm not sure that's an equivalent, comparison.
What, that you don't think we can have hard numbers?
No.
There are hard numbers.
Comparing a baseball stadium to a tournament.
Well, there's heads and beds that you get at baseball games, right? There's people who will travel with a team. The playing team itself stays in the community a lot of times. There are actual hard numbers. The question is when we start to inflate those numbers by starting to use multipliers, and we say, oh, well, that means that, you know, anybody more than 50 miles away is going to stay in Tampa to watch a football game. That might be a bad number.
All right. Let me read you this one message I have here from Gary, who is a baseball fan, I happen to know, and says, the Rays want a 100-acre development project, which should tell you that a stadium never produces the return on investment that is needed. Yet the owners always ask the community to build the stadium, but never includes the community on the gravy flowing from the results of the multi-use development, apart from tax revenue. So why don't we get some of the profit from the entire development?
In this deal, we wouldn't even get the tax revenue.
Well, they want
to eat the tax revenue. Well, that's a deal that they have put on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether we decide to negotiate and come up with a better deal, that's up to us.
All right. Well, I'm not liking what I'm hearing. You know, like I said, I may not be a huge fan of baseball, but I'm a big fan of my money. You know, as a taxpayer, I'm not really
but
liking
it. But I would tell you, some of these revenue sources that they're looking at are not that controversial to use. The bed tax, the 6 cent that they want to use, is not necessarily a controversial tax to use for this because it can't be used for a lot of other things. So it isn't competing with transportation or parks and rec. And so using that money for a stadium makes sense.
Okay.
It's not controversial.
How much, what proportion of the our end of it is going to come from the bed tax then?
I think the bed tax currently produces around $15 million a year. I'm not quite sure. Do you know?
That sounds about right to what we've reported. Yeah. And you got to, you know.
So you're going to bond that. So what you're going to do is you're going to say we're going to look at 30 years of that. And so it's going to be that amount of money. And so let's back out of it and come up with the amount of principal we can get out of there. And then we know what the interest is. And so whatever that number is, it's $400 million, something like that, $300 million, $200 million, somewhere in there.
Is that enough? No, that's not enough,
the
Colleen.
The ask is $1.15 billion.
There you go.
It's a piece of the pie. Yeah.
There you go. All right, let me bring in a couple of our callers who've been patient here. Let me see who's been holding on the longest. Eduardo in Tampa, you're on the air. Eduardo, you're on the air. You with us? Okay, we lost Eduardo. Sorry. Let's go to Steve in Largo. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, this may be more of an overarching comment than specific to the stadium. But, I mean, it seems to me that Florida politicians, voters, public officials, commentators, they're like in a bread and circuses mentality. Let's have some entertainment, sports teams, in a state where probably 20% will be underwater within 20 years. We are running out of fresh water. We have massive problems at all levels and not enough money for Medicaid, nursing homes, poor people, prisons, schools. And what an unserious culture we are that we worship people who hit balls with bats or throw balls, and we're willing to spend public money in nefarious schemes that never pay off. They only pay off for the rich people that own the teams and the construction companies that build and maintain the stadiums. Florida is so corrupt. This discussion is forgetting the precautionary principle and a lot of other things.
All right, Stephen Largo, I got to say, I may agree with you, but we are so far past that in this particular discussion. I appreciate you so much for calling in because I do agree with your sentiments. As I said at the beginning of the show, I am not a huge baseball fan. The amount of money that goes to these players for really what amounts to entertainment is, I think, obscene. But here we are, you know? Here we are. It's like the Roman Empire with the gladiators, you know? Only they're not fighting for their lives. Okay, let me bring in William in St. Pete. William, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I really like what you had to say. If it was the fact that it would be a gladiator fight, I'd be all for it. Because
blood, guts, and gore, huh? More blood, guts, and gore?
However, going back to the Rays, I have to tell you, I'm a lifelong resident here in St. Petersburg. I saw when that area was first developed when the old shacks were torn down. And then all of a sudden, we were lucky enough to get the raise. Okay. There's some sort of funkle daggle somehow. They said, well, we'll come here if you do that. We spent millions of dollars revamping the stadium the way the Rays want it, and now it's not even good enough.
Right.
After all of that, I have to tell you, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. You can trust the Rays as far as you can throw them. And my thing is that when HCC, or whatever they call it now, because I used to work there, they changed the name, once you give up the land, it's gone. And you know what? The Rays can't produce land. Only we have the land. Why give it up?
Yeah.
Orlando is very intelligent by not wanting the Rays, because they probably looked at St. Pete and said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be as foolish as St. Pete to accommodate a baseball team only for them to be unhappy in St. Pete.
Right.
You know what? Let them go somewhere. You know why?
Okay.
Because the baseball...
I got to cut you off, William. I got like so many people in the queue. But thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate you listening and calling in and contributing to the conversation. So thanks a lot.
And thank you.
Okay. Well, so somebody in my text messages here says, I think cities or counties should own teams, not private. You know, they shouldn't be private.
MLB doesn't agree, and neither does NFL or any of them. We all have, I think, Green Bay's the only one, and it got in under the wire, but they don't want to have all their information public.
Yeah, and with regard to what William said about the land, you know, this is the land we're giving up to essentially private development. You know, we all know, and Colleen, you've probably covered this, there was a thriving African-American neighborhood that was destroyed in order to make way for Tropicana Field. That's gone, and nobody has plans to bring it back.
It was a redlined, predominantly African-American community called the Gas Plant, named after two gas cylinders that were there. But how it happened is the community was kind of moved out. First came the interstate, and then they said, okay, we're going to bring better housing, better jobs, light industry to the Gas Plant community, but, you know, move out and we'll move you back in. But after everyone was moved out, they said, actually, this would make a great... You know, we should try to lure baseball. Of course, St. Petersburg has a long history mm-hmm. with baseball and spring training. And so they said, you know, I feel like they're kind of a little brother to Tampa. So we need a major league team, and we're going to try to get, bring a baseball team. But, you know, when they built the original Florida Suncoast Dome in 1990, they didn't have a team. The Rays did not show up and start playing until 98.
Yeah.
So a whole black community was displaced due to promises of better housing, better jobs that never ever came. And that was kind of a central part of the now failed deal in St. Pete, that they were going to build not only a new stadium for the Tampa Bay Rays, but kind of a whole development as an honor to the black community that was displaced there.
Well, let's talk about the proposed deal and the neighbors who are going to be impacted by the proposed deal on the HCC campus, Drew Park area. So potentially, this new stadium could be right across from Raymond James Stadium and Steinbrenner Field. Isn't all this too much for one neighborhood? I mean, the construction's going to impact residents, parking, traffic. And also, you know, with all this development, they're going to lose, you know, the tennis courts, which are public now, available to the community. And some the tax collector's office is going to be gone, which is, sort of a community resource. So what are we hearing from the neighbors? What's the feedback from the neighbors in this area on this plan? Do we even know? Does anybody care?
The Rays have been having some meetings with them. They're Rays-generated meetings, not from a government, but... first of all, Drew Park itself doesn't have a huge residential population. It's got a very small residential population. It's mixed in with a lot of small commercial and industrial uses. And so the Drew Park area was built on Drew Field, Airport Field. And so it's kind of an odd community in its mix. The people who live on the east side of Raymond James Stadium, which is the biggest population close to this, they have gotten used to living with Raymond James Stadium. And some of them have made profit from Raymond James Stadium by parking
in their front lawn.
And some have figured out a way of creating an equilibrium there. I saw somebody the other day say they'd like a dollar on every ticket sold to go back into the community. And that's an interesting concept. I ain't going to get it, but it's an interesting concept. So, you know, you'd have to ask the individuals in that community. Some, I'm sure, are thrilled with the opportunity for extra income. I'm sure some actually hate the fact of having more events interrupting them. But the Rays parking footprint is going to be smaller than a Raymond James parking footprint. And so you'll have a little less penetration into the neighborhood with raised parking. But what you are going to have is more consistent traffic problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because baseball games happen in more different times of the day, whereas most of our stuff is Sundays at Raymond James. In this case, you'll have a Monday game, a Tuesday game, a Friday game, and they'll be during the day, they'll be during at the night. And so that area has a traffic issue already, and that would only get worse.
Right, that would only get worse. And there, it's not like we are investing in public transit that would alleviate some of that traffic.
This actually could take away from some of our investment in public transit.
Let's talk about that. It could take away from some of our investment in public transit, and explain that.
Well, one of the ones they want to look at is community investment tax. They want to take, $476 million out of it. You add in $300 million for interest and cost of doing the bonds, and you're now at $767 million coming out of a $3 billion tax between the city and the county. That's a big percentage.
Yep.
And we still have to take out of there money for Raymond James Stadium, which was allocated in there, but we're probably going to need more money than that tax has already got allocated for Raymond James. And so all of a sudden now, does this mean that the traffic repairs that the road repairs we want to do, are we going to be able to afford them? We're only allowed to bond 70% of the CIT tax. Since the Rays want their piece before everybody else gets their pieces, this means the bonding capacity is going to be greatly reduced of CIT money. So if you have a big transportation project that requires cash up front, we might not have it, and we might have to be on a pay-as-you-go basis with those kind of projects.
Which, again, we may be in a position of not being able to collect property taxes.
Well, and so that means that there'd be more reliance on CIT, and there would
and
be
less money,
CIT to rely on. And so,
how does this make sense?
Well, it makes sense if we can make the money sense work. And so that's where negotiations happen, but those aren't happening yet. The Rays have said pay 50%. We haven't gone back and said, well, how about 45? How about 40? How about you do this? How about you do that? So right now, the public is really just trying to, the governments right now are just trying to understand the deal that they have put on the table. All of our efforts are really to try and put hard numbers to what they said, see if those numbers actually work, so that we can say, this is the deal they put on the table. Now, hopefully somebody on the elected side of this will say, well, let's give them a counteroffer. But so far, nobody has even gotten to that point yet.
Colleen?
Yes. No, nothing's in writing. Like I mentioned before, Alan Clendenin made that clear. He doesn't have any documents in his possession. There is no plan. You know, he mentioned that it's all kind of behind the scenes talks and negotiations, and also budget officials, people high up in government at the city and county levels are vetting what the Rays are telling them. And the Tampa Sports Authority commissioned an economic impact analysis study with AECOM, and they're still waiting on that. And Clendenin said, you know, they're waiting on that too. But I think right now it's a lot of verification for what the Rays are saying and the numbers they're putting forward.
We're negotiating with ourselves. I don't think we're negotiating with the team. Teams put a deal on the table, and public officials are negotiating with each other about can we do this, not should we offer them a different deal.
Well, when is that going to happen? When is that going to happen? Because
it might never happen.
It might never happen.
We might just say yes or no to this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're looking at April 15th, right? Would be the county vote, and I think the 16th would be for the city.
That's not their deadline. That's the Rays' deadline.
But I mean, that's not set in stone. Nothing's set in stone. That was another comment that was made yesterday.
Yeah, the public officials don't have to kowtow to the Rays deadlines.
Yeah, this is, I mean,
they want from us.
The Rays want a partnership, but they haven't asked their partner what timeline fits your schedule. How much money do you have in your pocket? How much money can you reasonably borrow? So there's been demands. And so far, the governments are just trying to understand the demands, but there's no negotiation. And hopefully, like I said, elected officials will take a pause and say, you know, maybe we can make a better deal.
What's going to happen at 5 p.m. today with Josh Wostal's, drop-dead deadline on, radical transparency from the Rays? What's going to happen? What does he say is going to happen?
If he gets 4 votes, then maybe something happens. If he gets 3, then nothing happens.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm afraid that's about all the time we have. I apologize to all the people in the queue on the phone that I wasn't able to get to you all. But I really appreciate you listening, and thank you for your engagement with the show. But we are running out of time. I just want to end by noting that, once more, that the experts that have studied these issues about return on investment for communities in funding these large venues have said that local economic activity is by and large unaffected by sports stadiums, and the level of venue subsidies that are typically provided far exceeds any observed economic benefits. And this is from a study by the impact of professional sports franchises and venues on local economies. It's a survey study from September of 2022. And basically, there's deep agreement in the research findings that sports venues are just not an appropriate channel for local development policy. All right. That's all we have time for. It sounds like the Rays want the county and the city to commit. But there are still so many unanswered questions. We will keep asking them. Patrick, Colleen, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your information and expertise. Big thanks to my show assistant, Daria Miranova, who's a real sports journalist who tried to prep me for the show. And thanks to Jessica Green for getting us on air. And thanks to you listeners who called and wrote in and enriched the show. Remember, you can find all of our entire shows in the Midpoint Archives on WMNF.org and as a WMNF Midpoint podcast on Spotify and Apple Music if you turned in late or you missed us. Now, please go to WMNF.org/events and get your $10 tickets for our Wavemaker Speaker Series next Wednesday, April 8th, with Robert Feisler, historian and author of American Scare, Florida's Hidden Cold War on Black and Queer Lives. You know, I love doing these public history events where we bring out important local history to you with beer and wine and lots of friends, this time at the Commodore. You know, Robert is a really lively conversationalist, and I promise it won't be like your boring history class at school. Bueller, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be engaging. So this is the story of Florida's own bargain basement McCarthyist Charlie Johns and his pork choppers who went hunting for communists in Florida. And when he couldn't find any, he turned his evil eye attention to gays and blacks and progressive professors and made their lives miserable. And the Florida legislature has hidden this history until now. So you'll be surprised at how much of that history sounds familiar to our current events. So we hope to see you there. It's Wednesday, April 8th at the Commodore. Tickets are only $10 in advance, $15 at the door. You can get your ticket from WMNF.org/events. Now, please stay tuned for Duncan and Talking Animals. We are WMNF Tampa. That's okay.